I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana. So help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Barbara Yakubu
and Eugenia Sumedusechi.
In the headlines, Vice President calls for inquiry into Katamanto fire outbreak. Government and employers urge to streamline wage bill and productivity to enhance economic growth. Ruling National Front Coalition in Malaysia wins elections, but opposition accuses it of fraud. And UN Secretary General asks Israel to stop airstrike over Syria and adhere to Security Council resolutions. But first, the summary with Eugenia.
The Vice President, Park Wisie, Mr. Arthur, has directed NADMO to go to the aid of market women at Kantamantu who lost their goods in the fire that gutted the market. He has also asked the AMA to do a feasibility study for the construction of a new market that will not be prone to fire outbreaks. The Vice President gave the direction when he visited the fire scene to acquaint himself of the extent of damage caused. He also called for an investigation into the cause of the fire. Restructuring the wage bill and parameters for determining productivity have been identified as means of achieving significant economic growth in Ghana. Speaking on Talking Point last night, the General Secretary of Public Services Workers Union, Richard Ampapin, was hopeful that this approach will help instill industrial harmony. Leader of the ruling National Front Coalition in Malaysia, Najib Razak's Barisan Nasional, has won a majority seat in parliamentary elections. He pulled 133 of 222 parliamentary seats, with the opposition winning 89 seats, up from 82, but defeated opposition leader Anwar Ibrahim, who has accused the ruling coalition of widespread fraud. And UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has appealed to Israel to stop airstrikes over Syria and adhere to Security Council resolutions. This is to avoid an escalation of the Syrian conflict, which has been described as highly dangerous and devastating. He said both countries must respect national sovereignty and allow peace to reign in the region.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Vice President Park Kwesi Emisa Arthur has called for an inquiry into the fire that gutted the Kantamantu market yesterday. The fire destroyed a large portion of the market, leaving owners wailing. On a visit to the scene to acquaint himself with the disaster, the Vice President sympathized with the victims. He directed NADMO to go to the aid of the market women who lost their wares as a result of the fire. He also asked the AMA to do feasibility studies on how to get a new market devoid of rampant fire outbreaks. He commended the security agencies, especially the fire service, for their efforts to extinguish the fire. We bring you a report by Nana Yawamponsa and Roxin Fiado.
The Vice President, Park Wisie Emisa Arthur, arrived at the scene with the MP for Ododododio, Nilante Vanderpoy, the Chief Executive of AMA, Alfred Vanderpoy, and other high-ranking government officials. The Vice President was taken through the burnt site to know at first hand the extent of damage. He sympathized with the victims and directed the Ministry for the Interior to investigate the cause of the fire. Vice President Emisa Arthur said government will do all it can to assist them.
For our country, it's another disaster that should not have happened. I'm told that this is the third time in 2 years that we've had a fire disaster in this particular market. And it is worrying, especially because we had another fire in another part of Accra. So I've asked the Minister of Interior to institute a commission to find out what actually has happened here, to find out the causes of this fire and what we should do in the meantime to avert any more fire disasters in our market again. And I'm asking the agencies of government, the NADMO particularly, to mobilize their resources to support especially the women whose goods have been damaged in this fire. I'm asking the Accra Metropolitan Assembly to do a number of things to design a better market that does not have the dangers that we are seeing in this place.
The Vice President later visited Sodom and Gomorrah, which was also gutted by fire last Friday. At the time of the visit, squatters at Sodom and Gomorrah had already started erecting structures, even though the mayor of Accra had instructed that they should not put up any structure on the site. Vice President Emisa Arthur promised to relocate the squatters and restructure the place for proper habitation. I heard that fire destroyed things in this area 2 days ago, so I came to verify the report and see how we can help improve the lives of people who live here. We've also told NADMO to see what they can do to assist the victims of this disaster. But the mayor of Accra has told me that the Koli Lagoon, which is close to you, has been marked for dredging. You will therefore be relocated to a better place because the water from the lagoon is right under this sawdust pile on which you have built your structures. The AMA and squatters are expected to meet to fashion out modalities for their relocation.
That was a report filed by Nanaya Wampunsa and Roxanne Fiado.
Though personnel of the Ghana National Fire Service have brought the fire under control, shop owners and market women whose goods were destroyed blame the personnel of the service for not responding to the distress call earlier. The inferno, which started around 4 a.m. yesterday, destroyed properties worth billions of cedis.
The market women and shop owners whose wares were destroyed blamed the fire service personnel for worsening their plight since they got to the scene late. They claimed they had lost wares running into millions of cedis. They could not hide their sorrow when our reporters went to the scene.
We actually called in at dawn that the place was on fire. So when we came in, it had actually started from this end. When we started calling the fire attendants, they were not actually up to it. They failed to turn up on time. When they came in, instead of them to start the fire from this side, they rather went to the bank premises to protect the bank together with the police people, which shouldn't be the case. There was easy access to this side to actually control the fire from this end, but they never did. This is the worst and to the extreme. It has never happened before.
The police arrested some thieves who took advantage of the situation to break into stores.
Nanaya Wamponsa and Roxanne Fiado filed that report.
Meanwhile, the Ghana National Fire Service has discounted claims that they arrived at the scene of the Katamanto fire outbreak late. The Director of Public Affairs of the service, Prince Anaglade, told Radio Ghana that officials of the service got to the scene within 8 minutes after they received a call from the affected shop owners and market women. He said the fire had escalated to an alarming proportion before they arrived. He reminded the public that the correct emergency number to be used to call the service in case of emergency is 192, not 999. He spoke with Yaya Kwamua.
It is not true that the fire service delayed in getting to the fire ground today. We received the distress call at 4:45 a.m. today. And our first, that was dispatched from the Accra City Fire Station, brought to the scene within 8 minutes. And getting to the scene, they realized that the fire has engulfed the whole area, that part of the market. So looking at the intensity of the fire, the best they should do is to call for an assistance. While several other firefighting agents have gotten to the scene. You also agree with me that the fire service, we are not in every home, we are not in every market. So if there is fire that has started in a home and you delay in calling us, then you don't blame the fire service for getting to the scene at the time that we have received it. If you ask them of the number they were using to call the fire service, you'll be surprised that some of them will still be calling 999. Meanwhile, 999 is not the fire service number. 999 terminates at PNT.
Yeah, you said that your current number is...
Our emergency number is 192, which we have put in public domain severally and continue to put in public domain.
There has also been concerns raised that when you get to the fire scene, sometimes you find it difficult to even put off the fire.
Well, it is another unfortunate situation that people that do not have the technicalities of our jobs will still have a measure to blame the fire service that has all that it takes to control and to fight the type of fire that we fight. I don't know the measure they are using to say that we get to the ground and then we do not know what to do. Yes.
Are you able to tell us the cause of this fire?
It will be difficult for anybody to tell the cause of the fire for now because we are investigating it.
So for now, apart from the loss of property, there has not been any loss of human life?
Well, that has not gotten to my note as of now.
Head of Public Affairs of the Ghana National Fire Service, Prince Anaglati. In a related development, the 2012 presidential candidate of the NPP, Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo, has expressed his deepest condolence to the victims of a fire outbreak at the Kantamanto market. In a statement, Nana Addo entreated the relevant authorities to put in place the necessary measures to forestall the occurrence of such disasters. Nana Akufo-Addo bemoaned what appeared to be a high frequency of fire outbreaks occurring in markets across the country in recent times. He called for immediate steps to arrest the problem.
President John Dramani Mahama is in South Africa to officially open the second ordinary session of the third parliament of the Pan-African Parliament, PAP, in Madrid today. President Mahama, a former member of the PAP, is a special guest of honor and will deliver a special address to open the session. The House is commencing sitting weeks away from the gathering of heads of state and government in Addis Ababa for the 50th anniversary of the African Union. A statement signed by the Minister of Information and Media Relations, Mahama Yarga, says the invitation to President Mahama follows a tradition of the PAP to invite prominent African leaders like former South African President Nelson Mandela and Thabo Mbeki and former Mozambican leader Joaquim Chissano to open the house. It says this will be the second time President Mahama will be joining his former colleagues to open their annual session. The first was in 2009, shortly after he became vice president. President Mahama is accompanied by the majority leader in parliament and minister in charge of government business in parliament, Dr. Benjamin Kumbo.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra. The major stories: Vice President calls for inquiry into Kantamanto fire outbreak. Government and employers urge to streamline wage bill and productivity to enhance economic growth. Ruling National Front coalition in Malaysia wins elections but opposition accuses it of fraud. And UN Secretary General asks Israel to stop airstrike over Syria and adhere to Security Council resolutions.
The rest of the news. Though the labor laws of the country give unions the right to fight on strikes as a means of drawing the attention of the employer to their demands, it must not be used as a weapon frequently to tie down the hands of employers. Workers must only embark on strike when all avenues and negotiations of resolving the issues fail. These points came up when the general secretaries of the major unions in the country appeared on GTV's current affairs program Talking Point, where they discussed the topic May Day and strikes. First, the general secretary of the Public Services Workers Union, Richard Ampabing, believes industrial harmony must be instilled at workplaces as well as put measures in place to curtail industrial actions. He called on government and employers to streamline the wage bill and productivity so that the country can achieve significant economic growth.
The world of work has changed. Now, if you are a trade union, your preoccupation is to instill harmonious industrial atmosphere. Any time you are a trade union and agitations and strike actions, then there's a missing link. Because research has shown that organizations where unions are present, it's quite difficult for strike action to happen. And even if it does happen, we try to use mechanisms put in place through collective agreement to resolve such problems.
The General Secretary of the Ghana Federation of Labour, Abraham Kumsen, said though joining a union is optional, employers must try and associate themselves with one group or the other. He blamed workers for abusing the labour laws, thus the rampant strikes on the labour front.
Lawlessness should not be condoned, because this law, it took us years, Singapore was part of it, we are part to come to this end where we have this document. So if we do anything to undermine it, what we are doing, the employers also have the right to lock them out. The law says that don't strike when you are working in the social services. Don't lock out. The employers have the right, as they are here. If there is anything, they can lock out, but the law prohibits lock out, and at the same time, strike. So if you are striking against the law, you want to undermine it, that should do with you.
The General Secretary of the Health Service Workers Union of the TUC, Abu Kuntulu, noted that the worker cannot improve his productivity when basic tools to work with are absent. He therefore advised government and employers to stop the drug feed dragon and attend to the demand of the workers.
Strikes can be minimized or curtailed when parties recognize that the labor law that we're talking about enjoins us to comply with the dispute settlement procedure. Again, when parties recognize that labor conflicts can be avoided, in other words, we should try to kill labor conflicts at the initial stages and not allow it to escalate before we begin to find solutions to it.
For his part, the CEO of the Ghana Employers Association of Ghana, Alex Rimpong, emphasized the need to play to the rules of the game by taking into consideration the bigger picture.
Our strike action is a very important weapon that labor holds. And from the literature that I have read and even from personal experience, it's a weapon that must be used sparingly as the last resort when all else has failed. So in a situation where even by the drop of a hat or a pen, a union is too quick to embark upon a strike action, then there must be something wrong. But what we must understand is that when we talk about rule of law, we should not forget about the word order. We are too quick to say Ghana is a country rule of law, governed by the rule of law. But without order, we cannot manage the rule of law. If you go by the Labour Act, which regulates the relationship between workers and management, there are ample provisions that guide the conduct of employers and workers in the management of strikes and grievances. So we must play by the rules of the game. We may not be comfortable or agreeable or palatable with a lot of the outcomes of these discussions, but what we must understand is that it is a give and take. We need to be tolerant of each other. We must understand that when we are making demands on business or industry or an employer or government or whatever, we should look at the bigger picture. How does that impact on the general society?
Panelists on GTV's current affairs program Talking Point, we discuss the topic May Day and strikes. The Metropolitan Catholic Archbishop of Accra, the Most Reverend Charles Palmer Bako, has reminded Christians about the need to be the light, salt and yeast of the world. He said God expects the people to live exemplary lives and impact positively on the new generation. Most Reverend Palmer Bako made these comments as a special mass to commemorate the fifth anniversary of the late Peter Cardinal Porukudere at the Christ the King Parish in Accra. Most Reverend Palmer Bako used the occasion to announce that the course of process for the beatification of Cardinal Derry will be held on the 15th of June at Tamale in the northern region. The Accra Central District Protocol Officer of the AME Zion Church, Reverend Chris Galgbe, says it is important for religious groups to encourage their followers to be morally upright. It is unacceptable for membership of religious groups to be increasing while there is a steady rise in social vices.
Reverend Gaugbeo speaking to Radio Ghana at Lugba near Hohoi in the Volta region, where he was the guest preacher at the annual harvest and thanksgiving service of the Nutitifafa AME Zion Church, turning to the abuse of the environment with its attendant poor sanitation. Reverend Gaugbe asked religious groups to adopt positive attitudes by keeping the environment clean.
Today is the beginning of the 1 month ban on drumming and noise making imposed by the Ga Traditional Council. During this period, there is some sanity in noise making in the capital. In the following feature, Irabnapaha takes a look at the ban and its significance.
Every year, the Ga Traditional Council, as part of its preparation towards the annual Homawa Festival, imposes a one-month ban on noise making in the capital. This period is said to be a time of quietude imposed by the traditional priest right after the ritual sowing of corn to leave the gods undisturbed while they look after the corn. Some modern-day churches and individuals in Accra, however, the year defied the one-month ban on noise making for various reasons. While some say it suppresses the Christian faith, others also see it as archaic, outmoded, and insignificant. At this year's month-long ban on noise making commences, the question one must ask is how significant is this ban on drumming to the Ga people, and has its purpose been achieved over the years? The highest priest of the Ga Traditional Council and the war commander of the Ga state, Numbo Gwami, takes us back into history.
This year's ban on drumming begins on 6 May and ends on 6 June. The British, who were then our masters, took this sowing of corn very seriously. I am pleading with the Christian community to abide by this one-month ban and allow us to observe our tradition.
Again, has the one-month period impacted on food security and eradicated hunger among the Ga people? Numu Gbami further explains.
This sowing of corn helps us. We meditate and observe quietude, and this brings food and happiness. Why don't they allow us to observe the traditions so that there will be abundance of food? We will issue ID cards to our task force. Anyone who comes without that ID must be arrested.
Though there's a saying that give Caesar what is due Caesar, the church in Ghana does not seem to buy into this saying. As this year's ban on drumming and noise making begins, what is the stance of the church on this matter? Reverend Titi Ofe is the General Secretary of the National Association of Charismatic and Christian Churches.
There have been steps ourselves to ensure that we don't offend the Ga Traditional Authority. We agreed with the Ga Traditional Council that within the period of ban on drumming, church activities will be restricted to indoor programs and not outdoor programs. And noise levels will be reduced as well. So you don't change a winning formula. And so hopefully this year there won't be any major incident. Churches in Accra are made up of Gans who also respect their traditions and culture. So even within the church, there are individuals who will insist that pastors should adhere to any agreement between the churches and the Ga Traditional Council. We are not apprehensive at all. Sometimes some of these things have come from ignorance. You do not need to inconvenience your community. You don't infringe on law. That ensures that the community is well protected. The church will not sit in judgment of any religious belief or traditional belief. We think that Christians are Christian. We have our practices and we adhere to our practices, our faith, and others who choose to have another form of worship. It will not be in our authority to sit in judgment of that.
Besides this negative aspect on the month-long ban on noise making, one cannot overlook its positive side. The period seems to bring some relief to the year, as noise making in Ghana is said to have reached its height where uninterrupted sleep has become a luxury. Back in the day, the home was a place of sanity, refuge and peace from the pressures of the job world. But woe betide you if your home is located anywhere near a cluster of churches where deafening noise from electric guitars, keyboards, drums and microphones is the order of the day. Noise making in the capital makes one doubt if Section 5 of the AMA's Abatement of Noise and Act 40 of the Environmental Protection Agency laws are being enforced. Emmanuel Apo is the Environmental Quality Officer at the EPA.
We have the levels for various zones. We have for residential, we have area for educational and health facilities, we have for commercial entities, we have for area of worship, and we have for industry and light industry, which has to be implemented countrywide to minimize noise pollution. Our mandate is to prescribe standards and guidelines for implementation of noise reduction in the country. Anybody who even wants to engage in anything will have to take permit. They have to meet the guidelines that have been set by the Environmental Protection Agency. In situations where it is reported to the agency, yes, we take it up as an environmental nuisance. The cities are quiet and people move about their duties in a serene environment. You know, nuisances are also criminal acts under our Criminal Offences Act. And noise making is also part of the nuisance. There are sanctions prescribed to that. Any facility is built without environmental permit. Yes, we have the mandate to close it down.
Though one seems to have become used to this everyday noise, the health implications of these minutes must not be overlooked. Studies have shown that there's a direct link between noise and health. The 1992 WHO Task Force said noise-related health impairments include stress-related illnesses, high blood pressure, hearing loss, and sleep disruptions. Research has shown that continued exposure to noise levels above 85 decibels over a period of time could eventually damage one's eardrum, meaning the louder the sound, the less time required before damage occurs. And ear specialist Dr. Edward Simmons throws more light on the effect of noise on health.
When there's too much noise, the tympanic membrane in the ear is destroyed and it makes hearing very, very difficult. The ear is connected to the brain, and therefore when there's excess noise, it goes to disturb the brain, and it can cause a lot of problems. It could lead to hypertension. There could be too much stress on you. Even it can lead to dizziness, and then eventually you can lose your sense of hearing. Once the brain is disturbed, the brain is a powerhouse of every human being, and it controls everything. So once there's too much noise, the ear is linked to the brain, and there are structures in the ear which also controls the human movement, your balance, your everything. So that's why when there's too much noise, all these things are affected, and therefore will affect you, the human being.
How often should one go to check if we have any effect on our ear due to noise pollution?
If you are close to a noisy environment where you really know that there's too much noise, then you can do it as often as you can. But especially people who attend churches with a lot of noise, because they say to worship God, you must do all those things. Such people must go for a checkup.
There is therefore no doubt that high noise levels are a public menace and an environmental pollutant, and there is a need to educate the citizenry on their rights and responsibilities in curbing, if not totally eradicating, noise pollution.
Irabna Paha on the one-month ban on drumming and noise-making imposed by the Gar Traditional Council. In foreign news, Libya's parliament has passed a law banning officials from Gaddafi's era from holding political office. The vote in General National Congress GNC came a week after militias backing the law began besieging the ministers of justice and foreign affairs. They said they will not leave until the bill was passed. The ruling National Front coalition in Malaysia has won majority of seats in parliamentary elections, extending its 56-year rule. The election commission said Prime Minister Najib Razak's Barisan National Party won 133 of the 222 parliamentary seats, with the opposition winning 89 seats, up from 82. Mr. Razak is credited with bringing economic development and political stability, but has also been tainted by allegations of corruption. Meanwhile, defeated opposition leader Anwar Ibrahim has accused the ruling coalition of widespread fraud. And UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has appealed to Israel to remain calm and to avoid an escalation in the Syrian conflict. He expressed concern over Israeli airstrikes. Mr. Ban Ki-moon also calls on both sides to exercise restraint and act with a sense of responsibility to prevent an escalation of what is already a devastating and highly dangerous conflict. The Secretary General called for respect in national sovereignty and territorial integrity of all countries in the region and adhere to all relevant Security Council's resolution. Football. The week 24 matches of the ongoing Globe Premier League continued at all the league centres yesterday afternoon. The epic clash between arch-rivals Accra Hazovok and Kumasi Asante Kotoko ended in a pulsating 1-1 drawn game at the Accra Sports Stadium. The Phobians were seeking to continue their winning streak at home in the second leg, got the opener in the 20th minute through a 20-yard strike by Wilfred Kobina, but got disappointed by Kotoko's Michael Helegbe's equaliser in the 65th minute through a header. The two sides exhibited good football skills to appease their fans, but failed to secure all the 3 points as glorious opportunities fell their way but got washed. The results mean the defending league champions Kotoko are now at the second position with 42 points as their arch rivals still battle for a top four slot. In other matches played, Medeama 0, Liberty 2, King Faisal 3, Lions 1, Edubiasi 0, Chelsea 0, Tema Youth 2, RTU 0, Arsenals 1, Amidayos 0, Adriana Stars 1, Ashanti Gold 2, and Dwarfs 2, All Stars 1. To end the news, the main points again. The Vice President Park Kwesi Imisa Arthur has directed NADMO to provide some form of aid to the market women at Katamanto who lost their goods in the fire that gutted the market. The Vice President said this when he visited the fire scene to acquaint himself with the extent of damage caused. Restructuring of the wage bill and parameters for determining productivity have been identified as means to achieving significant economic growth in Ghana. Speaking on Talking Point last night, the General Secretary of the Public Services Workers Union, Richard Ampabing, was hopeful that this approach will help instill industrial harmony.